Let's talk tech.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Let's Talk Tech.
Hey.
I know it's been a minute, but the good news is we are back. You may remember me. I'm your host, Temi. And
I am your new host, Oni.
Yes, yes. There have been changes. No, I didn't get rid of Tolu. She's still alive and well. She's just life. We'll get into that. But yeah, basically, that's a nice segue to where we've been. So basically, as you all know, hopefully, or you may not know, actually, we did season one of Let's Talk Tech, which was all about tech breakdown series. So we broke down what are the most current and emerging technology topics or domains, whatever word you want to use. So we did that in 2021. And the plan was to follow quite soon after, in like a month or two, with season two, which is what we're doing now. But yeah, basically life kind of got in the way. I think post-COVID, I don't know about everyone else, but I just feel like normal life stuff has just felt more overwhelming. And even like going into the office and just managing time just feels like more of a task than it's ever done prior to COVID. So yeah, we kind of slacked a little bit and then we tried to get things going, but then Tolu, my previous co-host, is getting married. As any of you who have gotten married will know, it's quite an involved process. So she had to like wedding plan. It was in another country. She had to do a lot of wedding planning, coordination. So we couldn't really plan. We eventually got to a point where we were like, okay, we're going to need to try something different for this season. And thankfully, Oyin was able to step in. But
you're just on an exotic island sipping martini.
No, I would. It's very, very, very boring. Just living life, occasionally remembering Let's Talk Tech and thinking, oh man, season two. But we're here. That's the important thing. We don't dwell on the
past.
We're here. And who is the owner of that new voice? Or you might remember her.
Who is she?
Who are you, Oyin? Please tell the audience who you are, please.
Yeah, my name is Oyin Damola Williams. Most people call me Oyin. And I'm a product design lead at a company called Honeycomb Works. Yeah, I was on the show earlier. And yeah, where I was talking about human computer interaction. After that conversation, Tolu reached out to me, not Timu, Tolu actually, reached out to me and said, yeah, this is where we're looking for a new co-host. And it was actually quite interesting because this podcast was something that I found very fascinating, and I thought was just like really great what they were doing. And I'm someone who I have always wanted to have a podcast, and this was just like an opportunity to just go in and be like, yeah, why not, you know, let's just do this. That's me. I'm excited awesome. To be here.
I'm excited for you to be here. I'm very happy to have you here. I'm gonna miss Tolu, but you know what they say, like, we have to be adaptable to change. And I think this podcast, hopefully Tolu will be back at some point, maybe all three of us.
That would be so cool. We'll be a hoot.
So you never know, Tolu, there's a spot for you when you're ready, if you're able. But yeah, we're just staying flexible. And I think, like Oyin said, we all have like a common vision in terms of like what we want to achieve. And yeah, I think most importantly, we all just love tech and we love talking about it. So yeah, we're here at your service and who Oyin is. So this season is Oyin and Timmy, but it's still Let's Talk Tech and it's still a lot of the stuff that you remember from last season. So what is season two? Season two, we are going to be doing day in the life. What does that mean? Oyin, do you want to tell them what that means?
We're having a conversation about just like what we wanted to do for this new season of the podcast. And I think for me, I was kind of thinking of when it comes to tech, some people just like may not understand what it is that people do in their day-to-day jobs. I know for one, my mom hasn't. She doesn't understand what
Our
I
parents
do.
have no
She
idea what we do.
just knows that I use my laptop, and she's like, "Yeah, I support you." You know, when I'm like, "Yeah, this exciting thing happened at work," she has no idea what I'm talking about. She's like, "Yeah, I love you and I support you. You're doing great." But yeah, so yeah, I think we're just like thinking about just breaking down exactly what people do in their jobs. You know, what does it entail? Anyone going into that role? What they need to be thinking about, what they need to be learning, what they are going to be doing on the job, and just basically just like how they get the job done. Yeah, it's something really interesting that I would like to dig into. And we are going to talk about this, I think, at some point later, about just like for the different roles in tech and how there's just like a lot of diversity. But yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to learn what people do on a normal day.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I personally it's something that we had in our minds right from the start. It was like, okay, we need to break down what tech is, but then we also need to break down like what are all these roles, because we'll come to that later. There's been a boom in like tech roles, like so many different things. He was just telling me about one that I'd never heard of before. So it's like it can be a bit confusing. You can be like, is this like some mysterious dark arts that only those who are in it know what's going on? No. We want to kind of break down that barrier and help people understand what is it. And if you have an interest, like this is how you can pursue it a little bit. And yeah, I think if we had like a mission statement here at Let's Talk Tech, is let's talk tech in a way that everyone can understand. So let's talk about tech roles, your day in your life in a way that everyone can understand. So I think that's kind of the aim of this season. So I hope that sounds interesting to you because it sounds interesting to us and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think another thing that we also think about for this season was also about the diversity of roles in tech. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so sometimes when people think about tech, to be fair, from the last season, we spoke a lot about very technically heavy topics. So like cloud, cyber, AI, human computer interaction, things that maybe the regular person in quote, and you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes, may feel like it's out of
Yep,
reach.
cheers.
Is out of reach. But fear not, tech is very accessible. And I think that's another thing that we want to come through in this season. We spoke about it a few weeks ago, actually. There's so many different roles. So of course, we're in more what would be deemed more technical roles, but there's also a whole bunch of like supporting functions and also like underpinning foundational functions. So like HR, recruiting, business development, the legal side, compliance, and then even within things like UX, UI, digital, there's the whole design aspect, which is not necessarily technical in the way that you think. It's more creative, right? So there's a lot of different skills that are utilized in technology roles and career paths. So we just wanted to highlight the whole spectrum. And that's what it is. It's a spectrum. You can go as like nerdy in quote and code all the time. And you can go as creative as you want, or you can go as like compliance, policy, legal as you want. So it's there's so many different avenues, and we hope to explore many of them throughout the season and really bring to life the diversity that there is in technology. In speaking of diversity that there is in technology, something we were talking about.
When you think about technical and non-technical roles, what do you think is kind of the difference? What differentiates both of them in your mind?
We had this conversation, didn't we? And I think I struggled then a little bit. I think technical, I think is more about the nuts and bolts. So when I say that, it's like when I think about my field, so cybersecurity, it's more about like infrastructure, like network, protocols, like more in the detail of like how you build like a system, a network, and like solutionizing in that way versus non-technical, which is like the bigger picture, which is like because we have strategy people, like compliance people in cybersecurity or culture and awareness people who just look at the big picture and they think, does your organization have a culture that enables cybersecurity? That is like a role within cybersecurity. That is what I, so for me, I think almost purely narrowing on my field because I think it makes it easier for me to think about. But yeah, I would think it's more about the nuts and bolts and like the detail versus like the big picture. Where I would say the big picture or the bigger picture, it tends to be less technical, and then the details and the solutionizing tends to be more technical. What about you? How would you differentiate the two?
Yeah, I think that's actually an interesting way that you put it, and just like a way to think about it. When I think about technical roles, I think about it in terms of just like the kind of roles that require some kind of very specialized knowledge of something. So just like you said, when we talk about, the architecture of the system, it's like it's very specific, and it's something that it doesn't necessarily always translate to a different industry or to a different role. Whereas when we think about more flexible or more creative roles, for example, like design or digital marketing, it's like even if you're not working with an AI
Or
company, you
sales.
can't. Or sales, yeah, you
Yeah.
can work for an AI company, you can
That's a
work
really
for
good way to put it. I like that.
yeah, a software engineering company. It's like it's more fluid and it's more flexible. Although sometimes there's like some kind of there's some argument about what, and there are some jobs that are like some companies don't really understand or get confused about whether or not it's a technical role. I don't know if maybe it is that they get confused or just like there is no standardized understanding of it. So
I think
you
there's
mentioned
no
design.
standardized. We it's almost I'm actually a serious person. Do you know what came to mind?
What?
The Kanye West and Jay-Z song. It's provocative. It gets the people going. It's one of those. Like people
That is so random.
it gets the people going. People know what tech,
Yeah.
but no one can like nail it down. There's no nail
Yeah, but
down
you can't
definition.
actually. Yeah, so like, yeah, so like for UX design, for example, I've seen some job boards where product design, UX design, I kind of listed under the engineering department or the engineering team because they work very closely with like the software developers, the AI engineers, and all that. So it's not necessarily about like the skill set in that sense. It's more about like how we collaborate
What
with
team?
that team. And for other times, you just like put them in, under design or under creative. So sometimes it changes and it gets confusing sometimes. But I think it would be really interesting to find out about this from our guests.
I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm expecting to come away being like, wow, I did not know some of that stuff existed. Oh, and something else to mention, something I'm quite passionate about, if you know me. We're going to try, and this is the operative word, to also get an idea of like salary ranges for these roles. I think this is quite important because I think sometimes people think in hyperbolic terms about tech. They think, oh, you're in tech, you must make hundreds of thousands of pounds or dollars or whatever. Meanwhile, that's not always the case. So we want to make it as like real as possible. Of course, we are aware some people are not comfortable talking about money, and there's different cultures around it. So unfortunately, some of our guests may not be able to provide that information, but we will try. We will try for you guys because we think it's important if you have an interest, so you have realistic and grounded expectations.
Yeah, and I think that transparency is actually very important.
Yes.
Of course, not everybody's comfortable talking about it, but I think at some point there needs to be that transparency because a lot of companies take advantage of that
Yes.
shady
We are only
because
playing ourselves.
I
Guys,
know.
I'm an advocate for various things like mental health, plantain, and then salary transparency. I'm
What?
in that order, to be honest.
Why is plantain not first? Because it really
Nah,
actually
mental
contributes to
health.
the
To
job.
be fair, plantain helps our mental health.
Yeah,
So
it
one and
does.
two are interchangeable, and then salary transparency is up there. Because let me tell a quick story. So one of my first companies that I worked at, we were in our second year, so we had been promoted. When I say we joined as a cohort, so there was about 10 to 15 of us in the local office that I was in. we'd just been promoted to senior consultant about 2 3 months prior, and we were actually made buddies or mentors of the new incoming consultant. So they were fresh graduates from uni, right? Just to set the context. So our salaries had just been moved up to like 32,500 at the time or something like that. This was, so we were
Sorry, 32,500 what?
pounds. 32,500 pounds. See, salary transference. See,
Yeah.
anyways, all right,
Who
guys.
knows
I
if it's
got you, I got you.
13,500 naira and everyone's going to be like, what?
No, pounds. Great British pounds per
Yeah.
annum. So we're happy. We've just broken through 30,000. It's, yeah, God, don't get me started on salary in the UK. So we're like, yeah. Then we're mentoring these fresh graduates. And I can't remember exactly how it came about. It's a few years ago now. But it basically came to our attention that these fresh graduates were earning more than us.
No way.
Yes. I think they were like 33 or something. So me,
Oh,
being
that's
me,
terrible.
as an advocate for all things that are right, I was like, this is unacceptable. So one
Absolutely.
thing about me is like, I hate like seeing something that's wrong. And I'm gonna think, how can I fix it? So then my mind went into, okay, what can we do? What can we do? And I have a friend, Lisa. We worked together at the time, and we were talking about, we're like, what can we do? So we cut a long story short, we managed to get payslips from the new graduates with our payslips, anonymized it, sent it to the partners, like very succinct email. We didn't need to talk too much. We've been working for 2 years. This is our salary. They just started working. This is their salary. Please fix it. And they did. They did. And
Wow.
they back paid us. So we got back pay, and then we promoted to a new brand, a new band of pay that was above theirs. So that only
Oh,
happened
that is amazing.
because we were transparent about salary. And let me tell you what, I really rated the new consultants because they thought it was wrong. They were like, we shouldn't be earning more than you. You have more experience than us. So, like, and then they provided their information. And it was only because we were transparent, and they never expected this. Literally, me and Lisa had a conversation with a partner. She was like, I'm shocked that you guys are talking about salary. And it was so funny because I could see the discomfort in her face because it
Yeah.
literally pays organizations when people hold things to their chest because they can get away with
Yeah.
exploitation and discrimination and things like that. So I always say, even before this experience, I always said it, but especially after, talk about your salary, especially at work. I understand why it may be uncomfortable in social situations and there's different socioeconomic factors to consider, but especially at work, talk about it because sometimes your organization is doing you dirty.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that is so good. That's a very good example.
Yeah.
And I know, like, coming from a culture that is very hush hush about money, I understand how that could be uncomfortable. Of course, you don't have to publicize it, you don't have to make
Yeah,
it
no one's saying
public.
go around shouting, I earned this, like, no.
But I
Just
think,
like,
like you said, in those kinds of conversations, you know, with your colleagues in the company, having that understanding of very important for everyone involved. Of course, not the company. Sorry for them, but yeah, it's good for everyone to talk about.
listen, we are in a movement of employee empowerment. Like, we had the great resignation after COVID. And I think one thing we have to realize, because I used to get caught up in this, like, you can have amazing team, amazing managers, and you start to think about it as a family. I listened to this Ted Daily Talks podcast, and they were like, stop with that. It's not your family, it's a business, right? Because that only helps the company because you end up blurring the lines between your personal and your professional. And what that means is work takes over your life effectively in many different ways. And I remember with this particular thing that happened, some of our colleagues were like, they didn't want to speak up because they didn't want to rock the boat. And they were like, oh no, but this manager and that. And we were like, this is business. Like, this is free market economics. With skills comes remuneration. We have more skills, we should be renewed. So it's just like sometimes we need to take the emotion out of these things with organizations, and it's a business. And that's the way they think about it. Let me be real with you. That is the way they think about it. So I think, and even with like friends that you have in similar industries at different companies, get an idea of like their range. You don't have to know the exact amount, but it helps with like appraisals and like salary reviews. It gives you a leg to stand upon to talk to your organization about. You have to be your own advocate
Yeah, and
in
I
this
think
world.
in terms of like job search,
Oh, job
when people
search.
go, like if you're going into a field, you need to know what is being paid, like what the standard is, because a lot of organizations, they won't tell you. Sometimes when I go for interviews and they're like, "How much do you expect us to pay you?" I don't want that question. You
Never
should
answer
have
that question.
that pay.
Never, never.
Honestly, it's like that's a recipe for disaster.
I had the funniest conversation with a recruiter I've ever had. He approached me, right? Trying to get me, and I wasn't even looking for a job. And I told him, and he was like, no. Then we got to the point of the salary, and he was like, what are you on and what do you expect? And I refused to tell him. And this man got annoyed with
Oh,
me.
sorry. What are you currently earning? That's another
Never
question not
told
to
him that.
answer.
Unless they've already made an offer, because sometimes they use it for benchmarking. This man got annoyed with me and he was like, I think we have to stop here. And I was like, you approach me, mate. Like,
No kidding.
it was so funny. But
Like you
yeah.
want to buy a market and they tell
Like,
you like, this is how much, this is how much it is that you're angry.
and I explained, I even took the time, I had time that day. I took the time to explain to him why I wasn't going to, because I was like, listen, I know how companies work. You have a budget of, let's say, 60 to 80,000 for this role. If I tell you what I'm on and what I'm expecting, let's say I'm on 40 and your range is 60 to 80, you're going to offer me 60 and phrase it as, look, you're getting a 50% increase on your salary, which is true. However, you had a capability to go up to 80, and my skills may potentially take me up to 80, but I will never get there because you've just ring-fenced me to a 50% increase to 60,000. I spent all my time saying all that, and the man was still cussing me out. So
Oh, wow.
I was just like, go away, man.
Well, good riddance.
But yeah, salary transparency, we're going to try and help
Very
with
good.
that. And yeah, like Owen said, we're aware culturally, especially in the UK, it's similar. People are quite conservative when it comes to finances, but I think we can help each other. I think elevate ourselves if we're more open about
And speaking of money. A lot has been happening in the tech space recently, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen that. And it's something very interesting, and how there have been like a lot of layoffs, a lot of big tech companies, and even like startups are really starting to downsize very significantly. So what do you think, Timmy? Do you think that tech has gotten to its peak or its end? And yeah, do you think we're in a recession? You're already like
I'm rubbing my hands. I have a lot of thoughts about
Jerry to
this.
go.
I have a lot of thoughts about this. So, just for those who aren't aware, we are in November 2022, and worldwide there is like crazy amounts of inflation, almost like as a result of COVID. A lot of governments had to borrow money, and like people weren't really spending a lot. There's just been a lot of economic turbulence, Russia, Ukraine. So all of that has meant that the price, supply chains have been hit. So, like in Europe, massive disruptions. So things have generally gotten more expensive, which means inflation. Inflation is just a measure of how expensive things are. Like they say, the basket of goods. So like when you go to the supermarket, your shopping used to be X amount, and now it's X plus 10%. So inflation in the UK right now is 11%. I think in Nigeria it's like nearly 20%, which is absurd. So what that means is usually companies try to react by like tightening the belt. Tech has been a bit like insulated from that in the past and hasn't really been affected. Like your Google, your Meta, your Twitter, they never really did like mass layoffs, but in the past month or so we've seen a lot of layoffs.
A lot.
HP did like 6,000 staff,
Yeah,
Cisco
it's been a
4,000,
bloodbath.
Amazon 10,000, Salesforce like about 1,000, Meta 11,000,
Yeah, Google, I think. Yeah,
Twitter
Google's.
4,000, Stripe 1,000, and so on and so forth. You get the gist of it. Those are all tech companies that haven't really done such a voluminous layoff. And yeah, it's scary, I guess, if you're in tech, because an industry that was seemingly like robust and indestructible is now showing signs of weakening, or so it appears. This is where I rub my hands because I don't actually think that's what's going on. My take on it is yes, we are in this economic situation. However, if you look at your Apple, your Meta, your Amazon, they are doing as well as, if not better than ever. So why are the layoffs still happening? I actually think it's because your Amazon, your Apple, your Meta, Twitter's a weird one because Elon is just being a
That's a different
megalomaniac.
situation,
but
yeah.
with the other three, I actually think it's a victim of the success and the growth of technology. So what do I mean by that? I think those companies were bloated, to cut it short.
To
It's like
start with,
they grew so much that they just kept hiring, 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 hiring. Like they basically hire all year round for like the past decade. Like they have hundreds of thousands of people.
And
And
they're still hiring.
they're still hiring, ironically. But what that means is you have a lot of people that you may not actually need in the company. It sounds harsh, but it's just, and I think what's happening is they're taking this as an opportunity. I think they're being opportunistic. They're using the economic situation to say, let's trim the fat a little bit. I don't think they need to. It's not like they're at risk of going under. Like Apple still has like trillions in the bank. Amazon is still turning over billions of dollars every year. They're fine. Their business is fine. They're a business. They're going to take any opportunity they can to increase their profit margins. And I think this is simply that. They're trying to be optimized. I think they're trying to optimize, and an easy way to optimize, especially if you're in the US, you can fire people at will, is to get rid of people. And I think they're realizing these teams have grown so big. How many people do we really need? We have 50. Could we do it with 10? Probably. Get rid of 40. It's very cutthroat, it's very harsh. But I honestly think that's what's happened. I'm not backed up by any evidence. It's just my hypothesis. But I think that's what's happened. There was a lot of bloat in a lot of these companies, and I think they've just trimmed the bloat. And I don't think it's indicative of the state of technology. Like there's still a lot of innovation. There's still a lot of hiring. Like Oyin said, I think they're just trying to be more efficient. What do you think? What's your take on it? Is the tech boom over?
Yeah, I think that's actually interesting what you said about just like what's happening economically and just how tech has been shielded from that and these companies taking advantage of what's happening to actually downsize. I think it's a hypothesis. I think you'll find it's probably what's happening, and I think I've always felt like some of these companies are overstaffed, if that's a thing, and just like. One thing I don't like when companies start growing, they immediately just start increasing their workforce when they don't need to. They start increasing like their expenses and just when they don't need to investing in things that are not re necessary. I'm a big fan of just like keeping things very lean until you get to a point where you actually need to scale. So I think just like that, not having that approach from the start is really affecting what's happening. But yeah, no, I don't think the boom is over. I still think like there is still a lot of room for people to come in. I think the problem is that people are not looking in the right places. Big tech right now, I think, is p people need to take their eyes away from that for now.
Big tech is closed for now. Big
Yeah, it's
tech is on a
closed.
pause.
Like let
Big
everyone
tech
go
was
and
open
work
for
in
a
the
long time. Let's
trenches.
be fair. Like literally a decade, over a decade, big tech has just been on a mad hiring spree. It wasn't sustainable, to be honest. I think, like you said, I mean, it's interesting. I think there is a vehicle for growth where it's like just keep growing, just keep investing in your infrastructure, get more engineers, get more software developers, get more this. And you keep growing, and it works, right? There seems to be a linear growth, but I think they're realizing that, wait, hold on, like some of these people aren't even like 50% utilized.
There's a lot
So
of waste. There's a lot of waste happening. And I think people just like need to start looking at companies that are in the trenches doing the work, and
exactly.
actually like building. Like a lot of companies are building amazing stuff. And many of them are if you ask them, they'll say their problem is that they don't have, hands. They need more hands. They need more brains to come work for them, which is quite ironic. So like, where is the problem? Because there's just like not a proper understanding of where there's actually a need for people
Yeah,
to
there is definitely
for their
still a
skills
tech
to
boom.
use. Yeah,
My
there is.
company, for example, wants to double the size of our London, Amsterdam, and Brussels group by 2024 or
Good
something.
shout. Yay, anyone looking for a job?
Yeah,
Yes.
so it's like, and that's like the digital arm. And I know a lot of, I work in a consultancy, a lot of consultancies are looking to grow their digital arm as well. So, like Oyin said, maybe you're not. You might have to shift your focus a little bit away from big tech. Like consultancies are massively growing their digital capabilities, and then other maybe more niche companies as well are out there that are growing. So yeah,
Yeah.
we don't think the tech boom is over. We think it might have just changed its look a bit, maybe not so dominated by continuous hiring cycles by big tech, but there's still a lot of demand, like in cybersecurity. Like it's crazy. The amount of recruiters that reach out to me on LinkedIn is insane, and they can see I've just moved
Same.
jobs, right? So fear not. If you want to get into tech, I think that's the messaging. Don't be worried. Just make sure like you're in the path that you want to be in and set your targets. There's still a lot of opportunities out here.
Yeah, I think another way to look at it is the fact that I won't say never, just because I'd never say never, but like it's very hard to actually like a recession or a decline. Maybe the focus can shift, but because the world is constantly evolving and tech is like at the forefront of that, then it means that we will need more people. Like we need people who have like knowledge of how to build like this next century technologies and how to manage the strategy and the people and things like that. So I think, yeah, I don't think people need have to be afraid about anything. It's just like Timmy said, just shift your focus a little bit.
Exactly. And speaking of shifting your focus, maybe we can help with that. Maybe you can hear one of the roles in the next season or in this season. I guess, yeah, this is season two, episode one. In this season, and dig into it a little bit more.
Or what's the weirdest role you've heard in tech?
Oh, the weirdest role in tech I've heard of. I wish you'd prepped me for this. Let me think. I have to think very quickly.
While you think, so I think the weirdest one I have heard of and seen is someone who's a color developer, and I thought that was very interesting because I'd never heard of that before.
What does that mean? They make, but colors already exist. I don't understand. They
Yeah,
make new colors?
I think so depending on what you're trying to use those colors for, I think you'd I can't remember how she puts it. I think it was kind of like creating color swatches for some of the work they were doing.
The weirdest role I've heard of in tech is actually somewhat similar, but like with fonts. So like a font creator. Like they just create fonts for the organizations.
So font designer.
Yeah, like a font designer. It's not
Yeah.
weird, but it's just like the most out there one I can think about right now.
Yeah, there are a lot of things. I think ethics, ethical
Ethics.
AI,
Yeah.
human AI interaction design is a field I'm really interested in, and something I've seen a lot of. Behavioral science design is another really cool one that I've
Digital
seen.
marketing is one I'm scared of. I don't know if you guys saw
Why?
the. Did you not see the documentary on Netflix about how they like tune, well, Facebook, like probably everyone tunes everything based on like your usage, and the point is to like get you to use it more and more and more. And it's quite, and it's interesting. I was talking to someone in marketing about this, and they were saying they were quite like fed up of being in marketing because it just felt like you're trying to get
Yeah.
people more and more addicted. Because it becomes like gamifying your users' usage, right? So yeah,
Yeah.
marketing's an interesting one. And then stuff like
Legal.
copywriting. So
The
like
copywriting,
now,
yeah.
like it's quite interesting. There's like an intersection between the ability to write and technology, because again, it's part of even like the name of the application or the description or like what's on the
Or
menu page.
UX writer, I think
Yeah.
that's a more
Yeah.
specialized one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. It's like stuff, it's like you were saying, like skills that you are more general that you wouldn't necessarily think would intersect with tech or starting to.
Yeah, there's been a lot of intersection. I think another one I really like is law. So legal tech. I've been seeing a lot of legal
That's
tech
a big growing
experts.
area. Yeah,
Yeah.
like patent law and also like
Policy.
competition policy. Yeah. We're giving you guys some, if you're picking it up, there's some hints as to what we're going to talk about this season. I think that's it for
Yeah.
the intro.
I'm really excited about this season, to be honest. I'm really looking forward to diving more into just like what people do on a day-to-day basis and just have these more practical conversations.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to learn more about what people do, and kind of get out of my own world a little bit and
Yeah.
learn more. Exciting times ahead. thank you for your patience or forgetting about us. It's fine either way. Shout out to the people who asked me, like, where's season two? I respect that, I rate it. And we're here, we're back. Apologies for the long delay, but we hope it will be worth it. And yeah, we have some great stuff planned. And welcome to the journey that is season two of Let's Talk Tech.
Welcome, welcome, welcome aboard.
See you soon, or speak to you soon.
Yeah, see you. Bye.
Bye.